Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zufa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait, excuse me. There ain't no ladies and gentlemen here. What's up, zombies? It's Thursday night, and welcome to Cage Zombies Radio. As always, my name is Matthew, and my co-host here is Mr. Spencer Pablo Diablo. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just great, man. Always hyped about Thursdays, because you know what time it is. It is Cage Zombies Radio time, and we have another stacked lineup, just like we always do. You can thank Matthew for that, mostly a little bit of me, but mostly Matthew.
Nah, man, team effort, man, team effort. Yeah, you're right, man. We got an awesome lineup tonight. We're going to start off with Luke Zachrich. Dude's got an upcoming fight this weekend up in your neck of the woods, so that's going to be a nice interview. Tough, you know, Ultimate Fighter 7 alumni, so, you know, he's fought a lot of people. He's got a great record. He's sitting 12-2 as a pro right now. From there, we're going to jump in with the sniper, Mr. Ricky Rainey, coming off of a devastating TKO over Reggie Pena at XFC 24, got to see that in person, and then talk with Ricky a couple minutes after the fight, told him then, I cannot wait to interview you again, and that night has come. I'm excited about having the sniper on, and then we're going to close the night with Mr. Defiant Daniel out of Team Darkside in Tampa. This dude's got a great gym, great team of fighters, a lot of guys hitting the pro circuit, and a lot of guys getting ready to hit the pro circuit, so we're going to talk with him about what that's like managing guys as they transition. It's a big transition, and when a fighter goes from amateur to pro, you know, you never know what a fighter's going to do. You know, there's fighters out there. I've seen it myself up close, unfortunately. A fighter goes pro, they get all this crap in their head, they start thinking things that aren't right, and they just ditch the people that have helped them along the way. So I just want to – we're going to talk to him about all kinds of the aspects of being a head coach, being the owner of a gym, and kind of seeing the transition from those fighters to amateur to pro. I'm not saying that's happened to him. That did not happen to him that I'm aware of. I'm just using an example of another situation that I'm aware of. But we're going to talk with Daniel about Team Darkside, who's making some huge waves in Tampa and in Florida in the pro and amateur MMA scene. And then you know what? We're going to close it out. We got a half an hour at the end of the show, which is open air time. That is when we're going to do one of our favorite things, and we're going to open up the phone lines for you guys to call us in. Ask us some questions, give us your opinion on something, ask about some fights upcoming, or just tell us that we suck, tell us you love us. We don't really care. We just want to hear from you. So call in, tell us what's going on, and yeah, we'll rock it. We'll rock it for another 2 hours like Cage Zombies always does.
You can tell us where to find you on Pinterest.
Exactly right. Big shout out to Cheyenne Velismus for creating a Pinterest last week after we were talking about it on the air. Cheyenne's a local fighter out here in Tampa. She's getting ready for a fight here in a few weeks at WCFL 6. I'm thinking XFC and WCFL because they're affiliated with each other, but WCFL 6 Undisputed in Tampa, Florida at the downtown Tampa Hilton, which is going to be another stacked night of fights and a sick fight card, as WCFL always does. But yeah, Cheyenne's got a fight coming up there. She's been actually training out of the gym I go to up here in my area, Gator MMA, coming up there a couple days a week to work some wrestling in the mornings and stuff, so she's dedicating herself more than ever, and I'm telling you, she's going to bring some true fire and passion to that cage here in a couple weeks. But real quick, before we get going with our interviews, our first interview, we're going to have Luke Zachrich on here in a couple minutes. So let's give some quick shout-outs to our great sponsors here at Cage Zombies. Of course, the great BrawlBase.com. Check them out. Support local MMA. Support BrawlBase.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Make sure you're getting the right supplements and the right nutrition in your body. Check out CastIronSupplements.com. Macho Fighter, I think we're calling somebody up on the Here, let me take care of it. There we go. So we're MachoFighter.com. You want to get yourself managed. You want to get yourself sponsors. Hook up with MachoFighter.com. Crossroader Clothing and Game Changer. With what they're doing, man, because you want to be part of what they got going on, man. Draco Sports, DracoSports.com. Check them out for all your combat sports equipment. ProAmBelts.com, the best belts in the business. And Jax Media, man, you want some great web designs done, you got some sick logos you want worked on, Jax Media Canada is the way to go. And, of course, Gator MMA Fight Team out of Newport Richey, Florida. If you're looking to get involved in some combat sports, come check out Gator MMA because that's where you want to be, man. It's a great family atmosphere. We got a great new facility, lots of great stuff to do in there. So come check us out at GatorMMA.com, Richey Racket, Newport Richey, Florida. I think we got Luke ready to go, or he's working on getting him ready to go. I'm going to go ahead and let Spencer bring Luke in.
Hey, I apologize for the technical difficulties. He will be with us 1 second. He's finishing up with some stuff. So you can blame all that technical stuff right there on me. I've been off for a week, and my head's just gone to crap.
Oh, and of course, real quick, while we're waiting on Luke to join us, let's give a real quick shout-out to one of our great sponsors, and then we're going to go live with Luke right after this shout-out.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. Real quick, we're about to go live with Luke Zachrich, who's got a fight coming up this weekend up in, I believe, Kentucky, from what Spencer said. He's got a 12-2 record right now as a pro, coming off of 2 straight wins. He's won 5 of his last 6 fights, so the guy's on a great streak right now, and he's looking to put together some wins and maybe get back to the top league here. So I think we're live with Luke now. Luke, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing, man?
Doing very good, man. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Awesome, awesome. Love to be here.
So what's up? You got a fight coming up. Was it this weekend or next weekend?
It's Saturday, dude. So I was just in CVS picking up a scale to make sure I've got a double scale to match up with. So I'm in the process of just starting the weight cut. Just finished the first go around, basically.
Nice,
so
nice.
You're catching me while I'm still in like a halfway decent mood.
Right on, man.
That's good to hear. We talked to a fighter a couple weeks ago who said not to talk to her right up before the weigh-in. So I'm glad to hear you're a little different.
Yeah, well, if you talk to me about tomorrow about 2 or 3 o'clock, I'd be a fucking dickhead, I'm sure. So don't worry, I'm in a good mood right now.
So tell us, how did the training camp go?
Training camp's always good. Like, that's the one thing about my gym, man, is we've got such a high-caliber Brazilian jiu-jitsu program, and we've got a ton of guys that are fighting amateur and professional that, you know, there's always a big jiu-jitsu tournament coming up, and, you know, we've got world-class grapplers in our gym training on a daily basis. So really, even if you just want to go in and train for fun, man, you've got guys that are basically, you know, competing on the highest levels in the world. So there's really no easy days in the gym. You always have to stay in shape, and you always have to you're always a part of someone's training camp. So for me, it's, you know, training like usual. I come in, I do my thing. I've got phenomenal training partners. I've got a bunch of guys in from Brazil. You know, so things are good, bro. Pro boxers, world champion jiu-jitsu players. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better.
Now, I know that's your gym out there in Granville. When did it start when you, as far as getting that high of caliber fighters and jiu-jitsu practitioners in?
Well, it's actually down in Grandview, so we're downtown, not in Granville. But started it in, we had our grand opening in October of 2011. It was really by chance, man. I had this black belt. I flew in, I think, six different black belts, my partner in the gym and I, from all over the world, basically. Did a huge interview process. I picked my guy out, had his plane ticket here. He's booked. He's ready to come to the States. And one of my friends who's Brazilian hooked me up with the guy to kind of bridge the gap. Well, this little unknown guy by the name of Vitor Oliveira came rolling into town to teach for 2 weeks. And we fell in love with the guy. He was probably one of the most undiscovered talents in the entire world with jiu-jitsu. And, you know, now that he's here in the United States, he has a visa. He can compete on the regular. I mean, he's been tearing up the circuit for the last 2 years. He placed in Pan Americans and Worlds this year, placed in the Nogi Worlds last year. So having him here and just having that high of a caliber grappler, and then to top it off, he's got guys that just randomly show up one day from Brazil. We don't even know they're coming into town. And, you know, so now when they come into town on their travel visas, they all come to Columbus. And, you know, it's like, oh, I just got my ass kicked by some purple belt. It's like, oh, yeah, he's a two-time world champion. Like, okay. So the level of grapplers that we have here in Columbus that come into Ronin and GF Team Ohio, it is, you know, I put it up with anyone in the Midwest, and hopefully in the next couple of years we'll be there in the whole United States as far as grappling powerhouses.
Now, with running a gym and fighting, do you find it hard to do both at the same time?
Not really, man, because I have a guy that manages the gym for me, and he's the heart and soul of that place. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to fight anymore. You know what I mean? So I go in, I train, I take care of, you know what I mean, a lot of stuff with the place, but he takes a lot of the weight off my shoulders. So I've got a couple restaurants here in Columbus. That's what's the pain in the butt for me to balance all of those out. And then to top it off, I've got a five-month-old daughter and a wife and stuff. So I'm really spread thin, but luckily I've got a fantastic group of people around me, and everyone's very supportive of what I do, and it allows me to train on a high level to continue to do this.
Yeah, it seems like you have a lot on your plate there.
Just a little bit. I don't remember what it was like when I used to think I was busy, you know what I mean? Like when I was in college and stuff. I had it too good. I don't think I ever appreciated it.
Hey, man, well, don't say that. I'm in college right now. I really feel like I'm busy. Don't make me feel worse than I already do.
Well, enjoy it while you can.
I appreciate it. So you're an alum of The Ultimate Fighter. Tell us a little bit about that. The Ultimate Fighter 7, you had Matthew Riddle on there. You had Amir Tadala. What was it like fighting alongside fighters of that caliber?
Oh, man, I like to call it the best worst experience of my life. So it's one of those things that, you know, you're always – you can't really take back that experience. You know what I mean? No one likes to do it. There's very few people that actually like it when they're living in the house and stuff like that. It's horrible. It's not fun. It's grueling. But, you know, it's one of those things that it gets you a ton of experience. It gets you a ton of exposure. You're training with, you know, different people and stuff like that. So it was a great move in my career. It's one of those things, too, you know, not to mention all of the training capabilities and stuff like that, but coming out of it, even when I was released by the UFC, you're instantly, you know, getting paid more on a regional circuit, stuff like that. So it was a good move for me. I don't know if I could ever do it again, but it was a good move.
Hey, Luke, is it like they say? I mean, you see that with a lot of fighters on the show. I don't think anybody ever more than when Julian Lane was on there. But does it really, like, does it mess with your head? Does it get into your head and mess with your psyche at all?
Absolutely, man. And that's where, like, I wish I hadn't been training very long when I made it on the show. You know, maybe I think like 3 years, 4 years, something like that. But never 2 years where I was actually taking it serious. And it's one of those things where, man, you don't know who's talking about you. You don't know how the cameras are portraying you. So you're trying to do everything 100% full speed. You're trying to uphold a decent image, and you develop like this paranoia almost. And as the show goes on, you see everyone starting to worry about it and stuff. Now, a kid in Julian Lane's situation, I can, you know, I could see how I think he's fairly young, isn't he?
Yeah, Julian, he's a bit young.
Yeah, exactly. I could see the younger you are, the harder it being. You know, so it definitely, it really screws with your head the whole entire time you're there. It took me, I can't tell you, it took me out of my game completely. I wish that I was a little bit more mature when I was there, because I think that if I had that opportunity where I'm at now, I think you would have seen a lot better, you know, of me and the way that I handled myself in the cage and in practice, and really didn't do everything that they said and stuff along those lines. I think it would have been a little bit better off. But, you know, like I said, it has its pluses and minuses, and I did it. And, you know, it gave me that credential of being on Tough. But, you know, it was kind of – it sucks for us, because we were the first season that you had to fight to get into the house.
Yeah.
We didn't know that when we got there. So it was like, hey, surprise, you guys are fighting in 2 days. You're making weight tomorrow, okay? And then, exactly. So, like, now everyone knows they're fighting. We didn't have a freaking clue. You know, there was supposed to be some big surprise, and we thought they were going to let us, you know, kind of go around Vegas and do what we wanted, not that you had to fight to get in the house. But then another thing was, is we were the very first season ever that they didn't have the whole cast fight on a Tough finale. So usually what they would do is they would let everyone fight on the finale. If you win, you stay, or at least if you're, you know, if you're a quarter finalist, or if you, you know, got beat in your first fight or something like that. If you won, they keep you. If you get cut, or if you lose, you get cut. There was only three guys from my whole entire season that got to stay in the finale, and they only kept like four or five guys from the season. So that was really kind of a shock and along those lines, which kind of sucks for me, because I felt like if I was home in actually at Cincinnati at the time, back there with my training camp, and actually got that opportunity to fight at the finale, I would have been able to show a complete different, you know, caliber of fighter, basically.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking through your record, man. You got an early fight in your record at RFC 8 in Tampa. That's intriguing, because that's a promotion I cover down here. How did you end up on that fight card, being from the Ohio area?
Do they still do fights down there?
Yeah, they just, RFC 28 was just a couple weekends ago. They had seven fights on the card. Great night of fights. A lot of
really
few guys was making their debut. Yeah, great.
Cool,
night of
man.
Fights.
That was a great promotion. It was the first time I'd ever fought in Florida. So, I actually had just moved down to Cincinnati, and you know, I was up at Dan Severn's camp in Michigan before that. I went down there. I said, hey, can you guys basically help get me a fight? I couldn't get any fights through Dan for a little while, so they set me up. I was supposed to fight a guy by the name of Carl Malenko, who's an ex-Pride vet, stuff like that. And he got injured like a week out from the fight. My opponent got changed and all that. So I always wanted to go back down to Florida and really get another opportunity to fight down there. I actually would love to rematch the kid that I lost to in that show.
Right on, man. Yeah, they, you know, Joe Valdez, they call him the godfather of MMA here in Florida, and they're still putting on good shows. You know, it was a year. RFC 27 was last July, and it was a year between that event and this past one. They had some, you know, some hard times or whatever with the boxing commission, I guess, some problems. But they came back with a great fight card. They got RFC 29. That's going to be in November.
That's awesome.
Well,
what number RFC did I fight in? It was probably one of the early ones.
You were
at
RFC 7.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm sorry, RFC 8. RFC 8,
okay.
Invasion of the Cage. And it looks like you were the
main
event.
Yes.
Right on,
no,
man.
I'd love to fight back down there again. So tell Joe I said hello.
Yeah, right on, man. I'll let him know. That'd be awesome to get you down here and get you fighting in Tampa again.
Sweet.
Now, you've been making waves on the regional circuits ever since you were on the Ultimate Fighter 7, just pretty much running through every opponent. What can we expect from you this weekend and upcoming fights, making your way back up to the big show, the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
Well, you know, if you look at my record, you can see there's after I got released from the UFC, I went on a three-fight win streak, put them all together, and I couldn't get fights for the life of me. So after that last fight, I went in to have a little knee surgery done. It ended up being, I thought it was a meniscus, ended up having an ACL tear. So I took a year off after that last fight, came back, fought in Bellator. I got injured before the Bellator fight and had some herniated disc in my lower back. They wanted me to have back surgery, basically. So I basically went through a three-year period of injuries and got one fight in 3 years. So now that I'm healthy, I'm back, I've got the gym, I'm completely remotivated, reinvigorated, I've got a great team of people around me, and I finally feel like I've grown so much over that time. So I'm not just this this guy that's, you know, before I was athletic, I was strong, but I didn't know how to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I knew how to Thai box. I knew jiu-jitsu, but not the level that I am right now. I feel like these last, you know, 3-4 years, I've really evolved, and I've learned so much about the game now that I coach more and stuff like that. So now, I mean, I'm coming back, and I'm trying to get these fights, and I'm trying to get notice from the big boys, see if I can get back in the big show. You know, I somewhat contemplated retirement after the last fight. Now that I've got the little baby, it was just super hard to get ready for the fight. And it was like I was being, you know, pulled from both sides, basically. I didn't want to be at the gym, and then I wanted to be at the gym. But now it's one of these things where, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take every fight that I can get as long as I'm healthy, and I'm going to compete in as many jiu-jitsu tournaments as I can. And, you know, I really want to make it back to the UFC before I decide to call it quits.
Yeah, I actually had the privilege to watch you fight at UFC 23 against Marcus Finch. I have to say it was a very impressive performance, and I see no reason why you couldn't make it back there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really, I honest to God, I feel like I have the record, I have the skills, I have the, you know, I have everything it takes. I just need to stay active, you know, like that, those little periods of inactivity that I had, it just kind of took me off the radar. Now it's like starting from square one again and, you know, putting together a streak. This will be my third fight in just a little over a year. And I hope to fight at least one or two more times. I mean, every time I fight, I'm hoping that, you know, I get that call from Joe Silva or my manager gets that call. But, you know, up until then, I'm just going to, you know, take what I can get and, you know, go after it and showcase my skills.
Definitely, man. Now, how did you get into Absolute Action MMA?
They're an awesome promotion, dude. That, like, when I was living down in Cincinnati, I used to go and corner some of the amateurs when they were first starting. So I've got a pretty big fight team right now in Columbus. And, you know, we try to square ourselves away between, you know, we fight in the UVC in Columbus, sometimes when the Arnold MMA Festival or whatever they call it, when they do fights, we'll fight there. And then we go down to Kentucky. We try to basically, that way we're not traveling all over every single weekend, sending a fighter here, a fighter there. Absolute Action's been one of those organizations that we always send our fighters to. They treat everybody great. They're a great promotion. You know, I really like the matchmaker there. I love the owner of the promotion. So they're all good dudes. You know, I've decided to have that relationship with them, and they know that what I'm trying to do, basically. So they asked me if I'd want to fight on the show, and I had to jump on the opportunity.
Good stuff, man. Well, good luck down there at Absolute Action MMA 34. You're headlining against Justin Gamble. We wish you the best, and we just want to give you a second to give any shout-outs and tell people where you can find yourself at on the social media websites.
Absolutely. Look me up on Twitter. It's at Luke Zachrich, and then Facebook. My fan page is Luke Zachrich MMA. Ronin Training Center is my gym. Please stop by if you're in the Columbus area. We've got, you know, we've got a little bit of something for everyone there, so it's a great place. Sponsors, Intimidation Clothing, 40 Thieves Clothing. These guys have been with me forever, man. So great sponsors. Please, you know, check out their stuff. So thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Let me know if I can ever do anything for you, all right?
Right on, man. Take it easy. Listen, I just,
all right, guys.
I just blasted RSU Joe Valdez on Facebook, said let's get this guy on a fight card back down here, so we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Let me know, all right, brother?
All right, man. Take it easy, dude.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll see ya.
Luke Zachrich, everybody, man. You know, guys talking about having a hard time finding fights, man. How do you have a hard time finding fights when you're 12-2? Your record speaks for itself, you know? You know, he goes to the Ultimate Fighter. He wins one, he loses one. All right, so on the international scene, that's what people see. But look at the guy, look at the record, man. 12-2, this guy should not have a problem finding fights. He should be able to find fights like easy, man. I just don't understand it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, people, you would think most fighters would want a shot at big name guys like that. It just catapults you to a new level in the sport.
Yeah, I just, man, you know. I don't know, man. 12-2, a 12-2 guy should not have a problem finding fights, especially with a record like his, man, where he's like submitted almost every opponent. Dude had like four armbar submissions in a row. Later on the record, he's got two key lock submissions in a row or something like that. Like that's phenomenal jits work. That's phenomenal submission work, man. And this guy's having a hard time finding fights. Like, come on. People need to get this guy
fighting. And don't let that last fight fool you. It says unanimous decision on his record, but, I mean, it was just complete domination. He used his grappling skills, his jit skills, controlled the guy the entire fight, just beat up on him. Credit to Marcus Finch. Lesser fighters would have just threw in the towel. But, yeah, Luke Zachridge is a legit fighter. Can't wait to see him fight again.
Yeah, right on, man. You know what? You know, good things will come to those that deserve it. You know, and he's a good dude. He's got a good thing going on with his gym there, and he's very passionate about that, and that shows a lot. He's talking about, you know, helping train these amateur fighters, which you don't see enough, and I love to hear when fighters do that. You know, you go when you turn pro and stuff. That doesn't mean you just focus on yourself and forget those around you. I mean, you got to give back, and it's good to see when fighters do that. And I'm glad that he's doing a lot of that with his gym and really focusing on helping those younger fighters around him, man. So those good things will come to him because he, you know, definitely deserves it. So thank you, Luke, for the great interview, man. Love the shout-out to Intimidation Clothing. We love Intimidation Clothing here. Got a new Intimidation Clothing shirt waiting in my house for me, so I'm going to have to be looking forward to wearing that this weekend when I go out to the Donnie Hare's Live Cage Fights, the Sebring Swamp Brawl, man. Donnie Hare puts on some great fights. I got a quick little article up on MMAMadhouse.com about the fights, got the full fight card. As always, it is amateur, so that fight card has changed a little bit. I think one of those fights, Jose Soto and the Austin McRae fight, I believe, is off because McRae tore his rotator cuff. He's a local young guy. I watched him fight his first fight, man, and oh my goodness, was he sick. So he's fought a few times since then. He's 4-0 in AMI, but unfortunately tore his rotator cuff and not going to be able to fight, so that fight is off the card, but I do believe there's been another fight added, or there's been a couple of changes. So you can check out the most up-to-date fight card at the event page on Facebook, Donnie Hare's Live Cage Fights, Sebring Swamp Brawl. You can find that on Facebook. So it's going to be a great fight, great night of fights out in Sebring, Florida, Saturday night. I will be there live, so check MMAMadhouse.com for those results. And, yeah, should be a great night. A little bit of a drive for me, but Donnie Hare puts on some great fights. He's a good dude, takes care of me at his fights, so looking forward to being there.
Of course you're going to be there, man. You're everywhere. Whenever there's a event, you're there.
Right, absolutely. Actually, while we're on that subject, let me give some shout-outs because there are I will be at events the next three weekends. Next Saturday in Lakeland, Florida, Rival Fight League. It's going to be the debut event for that promotion, being run by Ross Kellen, who also runs Copa America Grappling Championships. So Ross is a busy guy, man. He owns Champions MMA out there in Lakeland, as well as running Copa America, as well as refereeing fights around the state, and now he's going to be running the Rival Fight League. So it's going to be some awesome things from Ross, who puts on nothing but quality entertainment and quality events in the sport. So check me out. I'll be out there. And then also the following weekend, I'm not sure right now if I'm going to be able to cover Fight Time 16 in Fort Lauderdale. Regardless if I'm there or not, we will have results from Fight Time 16, as they are one of Florida's top professional MMA events, as well as amateur. They run an amateur division, too, that's also top-notch. So not sure yet if I'm going to be there, but regardless, we will have the results for that. And then the following day, the 24th, is World Class Fight League 6 Undisputed here in Tampa, Florida. I will be there live. It's going to be another great night of fights, as the World Class Fight League puts on nothing but the best. Also, that same night out in Daytona, unfortunately I won't be able to be there, but we'll get the results for that, will be Breakthrough MMA 9, which is going to be, listen, the main event, heavyweight matchup in that fight, man. Mohamed Mo Muscle DeReese versus Dominic Tominelli. That fight is going to be absolutely insane. So we'll be looking forward to having that. Let's get this ringing out of here real quick. Anyways.
Hello?
We are live with Ricky the Sniper Rainey. Ricky, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm doing good.
How's it going, man?
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem, man. It's always a pleasure. I told you, you know, after that XFC 24 fight, we talked real briefly. I said I can't wait to interview you again, and here we are. About a month or so later, Cave Zombies Radio, and you're getting ready for another fight already. So how's that going?
Oh, it's going good. The weight's looking good. Staying staying in the gym, so getting sharp, sharpening my tools, and getting ready for war.
Right on, man. Now, listen, for people, if you have not seen Ricky's knockout of Reggie Pena, you need to look that up ASAP. Stop what you're doing. Find that on YouTube because it was straight nasty. That head kick, man, as Reggie's kind of like facing away from you, you blasted him with this kick, man, that just turned the lights out, and you were able to finish him up, man. It was a beautiful KO victory, and I know that it's got to have you feeling pumped going into your fight at XFC 25.
Yeah, just, you know, I had a good training camp, and it just turned out good for me. I was very thankful that it went the way it went, that's for sure.
Right on, man. So where are you at? Have you already started the hardcore weight cut, or do you kind of save that for a couple weeks out? How do you manage your weight cut?
Usually I get down to usually around, try to maintain around a few. Yeah, I wait till the later weeks to get it all off, but definitely in cut mode as of now, but not dehydrated and stuff yet.
Yeah, right on. Now they've got you matched up Diego Lima at XFC 25. You guys have matching 8-1 records, so you guys very similar. He's kind of got a lot of submission work. You've got some submissions. You're more of a KO, TKO guy. How do you feel like you guys' fight styles are going to mash in this fight?
I think it's going to be a great fight because he's a good striker. He comes from strong. His school has a strong background, and he also has a big name, so that's what makes me so excited to have the opportunity to go against him. I think it'll match up well. You know, we both have power, and we both have our own strength, so really, we both have our own game plan, so I'm just going to try to make sure my game plan is the one that's on the dominant end.
Now, do you feel like there's a certain aspect of the game that you're just flat out better than him at that you're going to go for, or is it just overall, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, in this game, I don't like to say one thing is strictly what it's going to go to. Since it's mixed martial arts, I prepare for any situation. So really, as the fight goes on, I guess we'll see which strength is mine and which is, you know, see which one I'm stronger in, and I try to stay at that style, you know. So wherever I'm strongest is probably where I'm going to take it.
Now, do you feel like you have the edge, multi-time fighter in the XFC over Lima, who's making his XFC debut?
You said what? I'm sorry.
Do you feel like you have an advantage over Lima, having fought in the XFC before, where he hasn't?
I believe we both fought on TV before, so, you know, I mean, the only thing I'm just happy about is because we were going to originally fight in Atlanta, and that's really his hometown. I'm just glad that I'm in New Mexico, and we're on even ground. You know, he brings his two coaches, I bring my two, and then we meet in the middle. But I feel no advantages. I won't know my advantage. I look at film. I see what he does, where I can have my advantages, and I'm just game planning to don't really know what the advantage is. We're going to see when we get out there.
Do you feel fighting in another fight in your opponent's hometown or the area your opponent's from, do you feel like that gives the other fighter the advantage? Do you feel like it doesn't even play a factor?
Oh, if it would have been in a hometown, it probably would have played a factor. He would have had more of his teammates in his corner telling him what to do, things like that. I feel like it's definitely an advantage if you're at home, but in some people's case, it can be a disadvantage, so, you know. But I'm glad it's on neutral ground, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Now this is going to be your sixth fight with the XFC. We, you know, Spencer talked a little bit about how you're an XFC vet. You fought for them a bunch of times. You're 4-1 under the XFC banner, and I'm sorry, 3-1. This is your fifth XFC fight. I'm sorry, 3-1 under the XFC banner. Now, if you get this win, are you wanting a title shot, or is that something that you're going to focus on after this fight's over?
Yeah, I'm not really worried about title shots. The only thing I'm worried about is winning and getting my name out there. You know, as long as I'm winning, like I always say, as long as I'm winning, I feel like the title shot is always around the corner. So as long as I can get my hand raised in the fight and keep going forward, I feel like any time when the time presents itself, I'll be ready for the belt shot.
Right on. Now, I mean, now after the Reggie Pena fight, man, did you go home and kind of spend some time off and relax, or did you get right back in the gym and training for the next fight?
Well, it was my birthday coming up after that, so I took off about 2 weeks or so, and then I got back in the gym because my teammates had fights coming up. So, really, beginning of July, I've basically been in the gym going ever since. I didn't even know about my next fight yet, but, you know, it's my occupation. I really enjoy it, so I tend to try to stay in there as much as possible.
Yeah. Right on, man. Now, when you do get some time off, what do you like to do? You sit back and relax with the family? You hunting, fishing, sports guy? What do you like to do in your off time?
Oh, I mean, other than chill with the family, yeah, I usually just pretty much a gamer, nerd, play video games, things like that, relax.
Right,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, basically.
You watch a lot of other sports? You like to sit back and watch any UFC or Bellator or anything like that, or...
You know, I watch it every once in a while when I see it coming on. I usually go out and watch pay-per-view at some bar with friends or something like that. But, yeah, now football season's coming up. You know, I'm going to be on the football.
Yeah, right on. What's your team?
Whoever won the Super Bowl last year, that's my team. You know who that was?
Yeah, I know who that was. They're currently kicking my team's ass right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I turned it off. It was so bad. But
my team playing the Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens are playing the Bucks right now. They're up like, I mean, they're whooping them pretty bad. It was like 41-16 or something. But it's all good.
That's good to know.
No,
that's
not good to know. I'm gonna cry myself to sleep now, man. That's not good to know.
You know, just say it's the preseason to give yourself a little bit of comfort.
Yeah,
it's the preseason.
I guess so. I mean, what's been, you know, you fought for a couple different promotions, you know, what's been your feeling of the XSC? I mean, a lot of fighters really love the XSC. John Prisco does a great job, you know. How have you enjoyed being with the XSC so far?
Oh, man, I've really enjoyed it. It's they've been very professional. I haven't really had any issues out of anything, you know, and they seem to, you know, we seem to get along very well, and they – you know, they're worldwide, man. They're getting bigger by every fight. So, you know, just the exposure that they're allowing me to get, and you know, hopefully I'm helping people see more of them as well. But they put on great fights, and I'm just lucky to have an opportunity to fight for them.
Yeah, right on, man. I mean, so you know, let's go back. Let's go back in the past a little bit. You know, how did you get involved with MMA? What brought you to the sport?
Well, really, when I was younger, I used to do taekwondo back in the day, when I was in my early, like, 10 and up a little bit. For about a few years, I did taekwondo and stuff, and then went away from that, did wrestling and played college football. After college football and stuff was over, it started coming up a little bit more. People started talking about it. So I just went into school, and lo and behold, I started fighting. You know, I was working collections at the bank. Got tired of getting yelled at every day, so I had to let my frustrations out on the bag. And it just turned out to be pretty good at it.
Do you feel like playing college football gave you that competitive edge that allowed you to transition into MMA easier?
It definitely did. It definitely put me on a different level from high school. You know, going from high school to college is totally a different level. And so since I already had that high-paced, high-intensity type training, it paid out for me.
Yeah, definitely, right on, man.
I'm reading here, man.
Before your XSC 22 fight, man, you went into that fight with a fractured hand. Is that right?
Yeah, the one in Charlotte. Yeah, I fractured my hand, but you know, it still went pretty good. I didn't want to make I said I was going to fight, so I didn't want to make it look bad on myself. So, you know, I signed the contract, so I needed to go through with the fight. And so I prepared for it, and it turned out pretty well for me. So I'm glad I didn't make anybody angry for, you know, backing out or anything.
Yeah, I mean, right on, man. Much respect. You know, a lot of fighters, they, you know, some type of injury will come along, and they'll look for that as a reason to back out of a fight, man. And so, you know, much respect to you for sticking to your word. You know, you signed to fight a fight, and you went out there and you fought the fight, and you came out of there with a win. So I think it worked out for you.
Yeah, it definitely worked out for me. But I was worried, let me tell you, but it worked out for me.
Right on, man. I mean, what was that like, you know, after, you know, as an 8-1 guy, you know, you've only, and you were like, if I'm not mistaken, 5-0 as an amateur from what I've found. You know, what's that one loss, you know, I mean, what did that kind of like refuel the fire? Did that kind of like reignite the flame inside your fighter spirit to make you want to come back an even better fighter after getting that first loss?
I mean, from what I hear about people that prevail is, you know, when something bad happens, it's all about how you come back from it. And, you know, really, I knew that it was more my fault than anything for losing that fight. And really, you know, I really don't remember nothing until I got back to the locker room. So I don't really remember the loss that much.
Right on, man.
But it happened, and I just wanted to come back and show everybody, you know, that I had the heart to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now, are you a guy who, like, you know, some fighters, they like to, you know, if they've only got a couple losses on the record down the road sometime, they want to go back and avenge that loss. Now, is that a fight? Would you want to fight Johnny Buck again to be able to avenge that loss maybe later in your career or down the road sometime?
I mean, really, it doesn't really – I don't really hold a grudge on the fight. We're actually cool now, you know. It was just a grudge between managers and fighters. So, if that's what the people want, then I guess it's fine. But really, it was sort of one-sided. So if they want to, yeah, it can be done. But I hold no grudges. I don't really care. I know what I can do.
Just kind of keep moving forward, right, no looking back?
Yeah, I'm definitely moving forward.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Ricky, man, thanks for joining us tonight, buddy. You know, it's a pleasure to watch you fight, man. It's a pleasure to get to interview for the second time now. And looking forward to seeing your fight at XFC 25. Looking forward to seeing you do some damage, maybe get a kick with the other leg or something. That Reggie Pena knockout was so beautiful, so I'd love to see you work some more of those head kicks. But before we let you go, man, you know, any sponsors that you got to give shout-outs to or where people can find you on social media, man, go ahead.
Yeah, if you want to follow me on Facebook, you can just look me up. Oh, I have a fan page. It's Ricky the Sniper Rainey. I'm also on Instagram at OneShot_RRR. I'd like to thank my sponsors, TNT, Total Nutrition Technology. I'd like to thank Impact Custom Mouth Guards, Flesh and Blood, and also Split Lip for all the apparel and things they give me for walkouts. But definitely thank my coach as well, Michael Allen, my manager, and my teammates at Renegade Fighting Systems, and my fans for my support.
Right on, Ricky. Thanks again for joining us, man. Best luck at XFC 25, and we look forward to hearing back from you down the road sometime.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, man, take it easy.
All right. Bye.
All right, zombies, that's Ricky the Sniper Rainey. Did some serious damage at XFC 24 against Reggie Pena, and he's looking to do some serious damage at XFC 25 against Diego Lima. It'll be a good fight. Like I said, these guys both coming in at 8-1 records. Diego, more of a submission guy. Ricky, more of a stand-up guy. But you know what? It's going to be a great fight. Those two styles are going to mix. Those guys are going to go to war, and it's going to be a great fight at XFC 25. Real quick, we're going to take a break here in a couple minutes. Going to play some music for a couple minutes. Just sit back, relax. Before then, I want to give September 13th in Tampa, Florida, going to be the debut promotion for a new amateur league being run by guys from the Real Fighting Championships, you know, Tampa's top professional event here, Real Fighting Championships. They're going to be running the United States Amateur League. So I'm going to bring some great live amateur MMA to the Doubletree in Tampa. So you're going to want to check that out. You can check it out on Facebook at United States Amateur League. If you can't find it through that, just go to the Real Fighting Championships Facebook page and look it up through there. I'll be covering that live. You know, Chris Big Boy and Joe Valdez and the whole RFC team are going to be putting a lot of great work into that fight event, and it's going to be another great night of fights, and it's going to be an awesome debut for another pro league who's looking to launch some amateur fights. You know, I'd love to see that stuff. So, all right, so we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to play you some music, something loud, something to get you pumped up, and we'll be back with you guys in a couple of minutes. All right, so sit back, relax, and enjoy it, zombies.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Ultimate Victory Challenge, so we'll go ahead and get that going.
Yo, what up, Matthew? You back?
Yeah, man, I'm there.
think you were on mute still.
Holy crap, I was on mute that whole time. All right, that's my bad.
talking all right, to yourself.
So, so nobody was talking that whole time. Awesome.
Yeah, we're both even. I was telling Matthew backstage I was having trouble clicking the guests over. Matthew's talking to himself. We're just
oh my gosh,
a bunch of goofs here tonight.
I'm an idiot. Yo, it's been a long day, dude. I'm an idiot. I never even realized that I muted myself. I muted myself while we were playing that song because I was singing along to the song. I didn't want anybody to hear me. You know, I'm not exactly American Idol material. And I guess I never unmuted myself, so that's awesome. We had about 2 minutes of me talking to myself and just blank live air. So, yeah, I think we're both messing up tonight, man. Hopefully there's people still listening to us.
Yeah, I didn't want to click you over in case you were singing, because I know I'm not the best singer either.
Dang, man. I don't even know what to say. All right, man, let's give some shout out. How about Ultimate Victory Challenge? What do you got to say about them?
Yeah, UVC is holding an event, UVC 25, down in Athens this weekend. I believe it's tomorrow. Unfortunately, I will not be able to be there. I have work, my real job. I wish this was my real job, but of course it's not. But we have Jordan Shimbri headlining against, I believe, who is it? I have it written down here, Christopher McKinney. Jordan's 4-0. I believe McKinney's 5-1. And these are amateur fighters. I believe the whole fight card is amateur down in Athens, Ohio. It should be a great time. If you're down around that area, get out there. I'm disappointed that I can't. So somebody get out there for me and just shoot me some results.
Yeah, just keep in mind whatever you're doing, don't press mute.
Yeah.
Man, I guess, you know what? I was giving Spencer some crap behind the scenes for calling people on the air and stuff like that. But you know what? I think we're equal now. I think I was talking to myself for about, a solid minute. So smooth, man, smooth. We're running a little rough tonight. But real quick, we got about 10 minutes that we're going to go live with Defiant Daniel out of Dark Side MMA here in Tampa. I want to talk about a little bit of a serious issue. I'm only going to touch on it because I think this is an issue that respectfully deserves an appropriate amount of time. It's a big type of issue, and it's not exactly an issue that anybody really knows the full extent of other than those who were directly involved. But if you closely follow MMA and you follow all of MMA and you're not one of those brain-dead Zuffa zombies, then you saw some big news come out this week from Beck Rowdy Hyatt, a great young female fighter. She's fought for Invicta a few times, 3 times, I believe, now, going 1-2 for Invicta, which after you've kind of become aware of what she was going through and struggling with at home and the stuff she was dealing with, could be a very good reason as to why maybe her head wasn't in it or if maybe there were some other issues that were causing that. Because I think this chick is a phenomenal young fighter. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say chick disrespectfully. I think this woman is a great young fighter who's going to bring a lot of damage to the sport of women's MMA. I think that her best is yet to come. And I think now that she's freed herself from a terrible situation, she's only going to get better. She's going to improve. She's going to be happier, healthier, and she's going to bring a lot of great stuff to the women's MMA, and especially Invicta. Invicta's more than lucky to have her. She's a great young fighter. But let me tell you something. Plain and simple, my opinion on this matter, you lose the right to call yourself a man when you ever lay any sort of a hand on your wife, your girlfriend, when you abuse a woman, hit a woman, strike a woman, or abuse a woman in any sense, whether physically, emotionally, whatever it is. You lose the right to call yourself a man, you lose all dignity as a human being, and you're nothing more than street trash that needs to be burned, shredded, and just gotten rid of completely. So, whatever the situation is, we only know the story that's been told this week, but my personal opinion is this guy is not a man, this guy is nothing but a little punk, and somebody needs to teach him how to be a man. So whoever steps in the cage next time with this guy, I hope they'll totally destroy him. So that's what I have to say on the situation.
Hey, you were talking about Luke not being able to get a fight. I guarantee you every single fighter in that division wants to fight that guy right now. And
yeah, man.
You're damn straight that I'm going to be cheering for whoever's against him.
Yeah, it takes an absolute coward to hit a woman and to bring fear into your home. You know, the home is the place you're supposed to feel safe. You should feel safe, secure, and protected when you're with the person that you love in your own home. And this was not the story for her, unfortunately. And you know what? It will be now. because she was brave, she was courageous, she rose up, she got out of that situation, she rescued her and her family from it, and I just, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with Beck Hyatt, with her kids, and with her family as she prepares to close that chapter of her life, open up a new chapter, and move forward, and break free from something so terrible. It's just terrible. You know, I read the story a couple days ago, and just, you know, it's just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. You know, it's just, I mean, I don't know. There's not really much else to say, but it was just a terrible situation, and I'm glad that she was able to free herself from that, her and her kids, and, you know, I just wish the best for her moving forward in her life, and I can't wait to see her get back in the cage, especially if it's for Invicta. So that's
definitely,
that. We have to stay on the issue. And go
Beck
ahead,
definitely
man.
Has a great fan base, too, and I'm sure they will help along. If you're not already a part of that, join it. She's a great fighter, fun to watch. And I know her fans are behind her 100% with everything she does, so I know they're definitely going to help out. But, yeah, I wish her the best in continuing her career and continuing in her life.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're going to be going live here in a couple of minutes. We're going to have Mr. Defiant Daniel out of Team Darkside, Darkside MMA in Tampa on the phone. And, you know, I've got to see quite a few of his fighters recently. And over the time that I've been doing this, you know, didn't really know much about the gym at the time. But I've learned a little bit about the gym here or there, seen a few of the fighters. Chris Big Boy is trained out of Team Darkside and has been a part of that team. He actually has a special message he'd like me to give Daniel when we get him on the phone, so I'll save that. He told me a message to pass along to Daniel, and then he quickly took it back. But you know what? Once you've told me something, I'm sorry, man. This is what I do. I talk. I do a radio show here, so I just, you know, have this thing in me where I'm sorry, I can't hold back. So I'm going to have to let Daniel know what Big Boy had to say, and out of respect, obviously, I'm a big fan of Big Boy. Looking forward to the great things that Big Boy is going to do with the RFC and with the USAL here in Tampa, and it's all in jokes, but we'll see what Mr. Defiant Daniel has to say as far as in response to Chris's comments. But anyways, yeah, Chris Big Boy, Gian Herrera, Rob Horton, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Oleg Koroshevskis. I've pronounced that way wrong. We'll let Daniel correct me on that because I sound like a moron right now trying to say that name. But lots of great fighters, man. Marcos Briones out of Darkside. Oh, my goodness. It just keeps going. They've got a lot of great guys out of the gym, so we'll be talking with him in a couple minutes. Other than that, man, get out. Check out your local MMA scene. You know, don't just, you know, MMA Madhouse is the world leader in supporting local and regional MMA. I can guarantee you nobody does it more than us. You know, you've got the underground who can get you results from any fight, but they're not doing what we're doing. I don't care how many events they cover. I don't care how many events they can get the results of. They're getting those results because people are submitting them to them. MMAMadhouse.com is getting you the results because we're at the events. We're there. We're covering them live. We're talking with the fighters. We're supporting the local scene, and that's what it's all about. So, man, Spencer's on the ball tonight. Mr. Defiant Daniel, what's going on, man? This is Matthew, Cage Zombies Radio. How you doing tonight? He was there. This is a great night, man. Me and Spencer are both we're just all over the place tonight. All right, he's got Daniel. He's getting him ready to go. In the meantime, just check out MMAMadhouse.com for local MMA. We cover it more than anybody else does. And but you know what? Get out there, find it yourself. Go out to your local area and find local MMA. Get out there, support it, watch the fights, help these young fighters, man. Let no champion struggle. I think we got Daniel ready to go. You ready to go, Daniel?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
How's it going, man? Thanks for joining us tonight. Looking forward to talking some good stuff about some of your great young fighters.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, so real quick, Big Boy wanted me to pass something along to you. He's, you know, he's over here harassing me through these Facebook messages. He says, let Daniel know that Big Boy taught him everything he knows. So,
he sure did.
he quickly recanted that. He said, no, don't tell him that. He'll kick my ass. And I'm like, too bad, buddy. It's a little too late. So, first and foremost, man, how did you get into the sport? You know, what was your entrance into MMA or into the combat sports?
Oh, man,
I mean, I started doing martial arts when I was about six. And throughout the years, you know, I started actually with my family, part Chinese. So I grew up doing Kung Fu. And after that, I got involved in Taekwondo, Karate, and, you know, different martial arts. I did a lot of boxing. You know, by the time MMA came around, probably back in, I think it was 91, you know, I was already like about 18. So, you know, where I was living at, they didn't really have a lot of MMA. So it was kind of new and things like that. So I was never able to get into it, you know. But I've been a lot more involved with boxing and some of the traditional martial arts.
Right on, man. Now, when did you found Team Darkside?
Team Darkside was founded by the fighters. They wanted to have their own identity as fighters, and so they decided to come together and just, you know, gave it a name, and we took it from there.
Awesome.
So,
and who was the original guys when Team Darkside was created?
All the guys that is still in the team.
Awesome.
Everyone that created it is still part of the team. They're still competing. You know, you got Marcus Briones, you got Rob Horton, Paul Barrow, Alon Cruz, Devin Rodriguez. Those are pretty much the original guys right there.
Right on, man. Now, you know, how did you come to being the head coach up there? I mean, were you were there when the guys created it, and I guess, I mean, how did you move into being head coach?
I was their striking coach. We're actually all affiliated with a local MMA school, and certain things took place, and so they got decided to you know, form the team, and they asked me to be their head coach, you know, and then we just took it from there, and it's been, I don't know, about 2.5 years now.
Right on, man. Now, you got a lot of successful fighters. I mean, you got a lot of guys who are making waves on, you know, you got guys making waves on the amateur division, and you got some guys hitting the pro scene. Marcos Briones just hit the pro scene. You know, you've got Big Boy, who's been fighting for a while. Big Boy just stepped aside to focus more on the matchmaking and other stuff, but Big Boy put together a great record while he was fighting. Let's see, Rob Horton is just what, he's in two pro fights now, I think.
Yeah, Rob has he's got a contract with Bellator.
That's right.
We also got Paul Barrow. He also has a contract with Bellator. Another one too, part of Team Darkside is Gian Herrera.
Yeah,
He's part of the team as well. So, you know, some of the other guys, I mean, they train hard. They all give 100%. So it's pretty cool, you know.
Right on.
You know, I wake up every morning, man, ready to go.
Yeah. Now what, as a coach, you know, when you see some of these guys transitioning from the amateur to the pros, what have you seen as the hardest thing for these fighters to adjust to when they make that transition?
Well, because, and I think the hardest part for them is the fact that once they go into the pros, they know that if you lose, it's going to count against you in a sense. So they feel a lot more pressure to win. You know, and the amateurs, you know, they don't really, they worry about it to a certain point, but then they know once you go into the pros, that's when it counts the most, you know, and they want to stay undefeated. So they feel a lot more pressure in that sense.
Right on. Now, I'm trying to figure out how I want to formulate this question, but, you know, when these guys go pro, you know, a lot changes from the amateur to the pro scene. First and foremost, they're getting paid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Win or lose, pretty much they're getting paid. If they lose, you know, obviously it's much smaller. If they win, you know, it varies. But how have you been helping these guys adjust to that, you know, because when they've gone from being an amateur fighter where they're just fighting to fight, they're fighting to get their name out, they're fighting to build a record, and then they go, they're actually fighting for money. How do these fighters adjust to that and keep themselves grounded rather than let themselves get these big heads and kind of lose sense of reality?
Yeah, well, most, you know, actually all of them, you know, they still have jobs. So it's not that they stopped working. And I mean, like, I got two, Marcos at one point, you know, he was like, look, coach, you know, I just want to fight. I don't even care if I get paid, you know. And that's pretty much the mindset. They just want to fight, you know, especially when this is your first or second fight and things like that. As far as the money goes, you know, they take it as it comes, you know. They know that it's still they still got to put in the work. They know that they still got to give 100%. You know, the vision is a lot greater, you know. So we keep working towards the vision. You know, the money, to be honest with you, I think it's to these guys and the team is not as important as making a mark, you know. They want to go out there, they want to build a career, they want to have longevity in the sport, you know. They want to get to the top, they want to be champions and things like that. They know the money eventually will come, you know, the big money.
Yeah. Now, how have you say you've been around? I mean, you were about 18 when MMA kind of first came together.
Yes.
I mean, MMA is only 21 years old, really, as the sport of MMA. Obviously, there was the NHB before that, and there was other kind of cage fighting. But for the true sport of mixed martial arts, it's only about 20 years old. How have you liked, and what's your opinions on the evolution of the sport so far in the first 20 years?
Well, it's you know, big changes. You know, I mean, they went from no weight classes, and, you know, and you have people fighting at 200-something pounds against people at 180, 170, 150, you know, things like that. And with time, you know, it's gotten a lot more complete, you know, in the sense that when you see the fighters now, they're like better rounded, you know. They before you had the wrestler against the boxer, or the striker against the jiu-jitsu guy, and things like that. Now you got MMA fighters, you know. And the next generation, I mean, you're gonna have just a complete wave of MMA fighters. Period. You know, they're gonna know how to use their jits. They're gonna know how to use their wrestling, their striking, and all those different things. So the sport has evolved as far as, like, skills. Money, too, is not where boxing is, but, you know, eventually, hopefully, it'll get there.
Right on. Yeah, and I mean, and really, honestly, in my opinion is I think we have yet to even see the best that the sport has to offer. I feel like the sport is still very much in its infancy. Still has a lot of growing to do. There's some fine-tuning still, but it's a beautiful sport right now, but I think it only has up to go, and it's only going to just get better and better, and that's going to come along with some of these kids that are getting into it, where 10 years from now, when a lot of these future fighters, these 9, 10, 11-year-old kids that are, like, I feel like they're going to kind of be, in a sense, the first true generation of mixed martial arts fighter, where they will have grown up training in everything, as you were just saying, whereas 15 years ago, you know, you had a boxer versus a wrestler, or you had a wrestler versus a jits guy, or a judo versus a boxer, or whatever. You've got these kids now where, you know, any one kid is training regularly and is very fluent in up to four or five different forms of these martial arts, which I think is only going to add to the progression and the evolution of the sport.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, you know, when you see, you know, like you say, you guys have a couple guys that are signed with Bellator. You've got Gian, who's fought with the RFC a few times now, and Marcos just made his debut with the RFC. And you know, these guys, where 5 years ago, everyone wanted the UFC, UFC, UFC. It's like, you know, I want to be a fighter, and I want to fight in the UFC. And now a lot of guys still have that mentality, but in the reality of it, UFC, yes, is still the largest promotion in the world, but there are so many great options out there for these fighters. You know, like Bellator is a great example. You guys have two guys that are signed with Bellator. You got the XFC, which is another great promotion. I mean, do you feel like it waters down the sport to have a lot of these top promotions, or is it better for the growth of the sport to have these top promotions competing with each other?
No, I think it actually is good. It's good for the sport, because just like any type of business, you know, you want competition. That's that's how fighters are going to get to, you know, higher salaries and things like that. You know, because if you only got one or two, it's really not going to do much. And there's a lot of MMA fighters at this point. You know, so you need different promotions. Of course, the UFC at this point, you know, it's probably the highest paid, and as far as their fighters go. So every MMA fighter kind of looks forward to one day, you know, making it to the UFC. But Bellator, I mean, they've been extremely nice to us. You know, I got no complaints. You know, the guys are great. The money is good. You know, the guys can't complain. And they take care of the fighters. You know, every time we show up to fight, they do take care of the fighters.
Yeah. Right on, man. Now, what's it like, you know, as a fan of the sport, obviously, you know, you get to see a lot of stuff being the coach and being, you know, a lot of these guys' corners. You know, does it make you feel like, I mean, there's like the 18-year-old in you that was really starting to get into that sport when it first came around. How does that 18-year-old view in this when you're sitting there cage side and you're cornering these guys and you're getting to see this awesome sport up close?
Oh, wow, that's an interesting question. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, I guess. When you got all, you know, all this, you're talking about an 18-year-old looking at a sport, and you know, and not nowadays. Like every time I come across a lot more kids at that age, you know, they seem very attracted to the sport. You know, they like what they see. They enjoy the environment behind it. You know, the noise, the lights, and all the different things. And you really, you know, need to have the heart for it. You know, you got to want it. This sport is not for everyone. You got to be a very special person, I guess. In a sense, you got to be a little bit crazy. And you know, but at the same time, you know, because it's not easy. It's not easy to, you know, you're signing a paper and you're telling someone else that, hey, I'm going to meet you at the RFC in 2 months, you know, and we're going to punch each other in the face. So it's a very psychological roller coaster. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's very mental, more than physical, if anything, you know. I mean, people get into fights in the streets and you just get up and fight, you know. But when you're signing a paper and you're telling somebody else, like, okay, I'm going to meet you, you know, I'll meet you again in 2 months, and we're going to get in the cage, and you try to knock me out, and I'm going to try to knock you out, you know, it's a very interesting emotional roller coaster, you know. So that sport is not for everyone. I think I see a lot more and more kids attracted to MMA. You know, I'm still involved with boxing as well, and I still go to boxing camps and things like that. So I hear different things, you know. I think MMA is a very unique sport. It's very different. You got different elements involved. So it takes a very special type of person to get involved in MMA.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, anybody can call themselves a fighter. Anybody can say that they want to get in the cage and they want to fight. But it truly takes a warrior's mentality, a fighter's spirit to actually get in, follow through, and to bring justice and integrity to the sport. You know, I think that too many people want to call themselves fighters. But until you've actually stepped in the cage, locked yourself in a cage with another human being with the sole intentions to beat or be beaten, I think you don't really know what it takes to be a fighter. I would surely never call myself a fighter. It's an honor to be called that, and it's, you're right, it takes somebody who's a little crazy, maybe a little off, got a couple screws loose upstairs, but it's something that's born into somebody. I truly think it's in a person's nature. It's born into them. It's not just something that somebody can wake up one day and, you know, do. It's something that you really have to have a part of you. and it's a special thing. It really is.
It is. You know, and to me, it's very interesting because, you know, you're only going to be a fighter for so many years. You know, that's the reality of the sport. You know, any sport. You can play basketball. You're only going to play basketball for so many years. Football, whatever. So that after you stop fighting, you know, you're still a human being. You know, you're still part of a community. You're still part of society. So it's not just about being a fighter, but you also got to become a better person. You know, and so you got to do the fighting, which is, you know, you're going nuts. You're trying to, you know, you're training. You're giving 100%. You're saying crazy things. You know, you're gonna beat the crap out of the guy. And you're going to do this, you're going to break his arm, you're going to punch him in the face, you're going to knock him out, you know, you're going to send him to the hospital. And then on the other side, you know, you got to be a productive member of society, you know. So it's a really, really interesting scenario, you know. And with in our team, you know, I'm just very fortunate to have these guys. I mean, each one of them brings something different to the table. When we first started, it wasn't all pretty, you know. We bumped heads, you know, until there was a culture that was built. Now when you come into the team, you pretty much got to become part of the culture, you know. And it comes on, you know, we got rules. There's certain things that, you know, you're not going to be on Facebook bad-mouthing people. You're not going to be acting crazy. You know, you represent the team, so you got to know how to carry yourself. You got to do, you know, you're not going to be partying. You're not going to be doing drugs. You're not going to be seen drunk or anything like that, because you got to be a productive member to society as well, you know. So on one side, you got to be good. On the other side, you got to be bad, you know. So it's a very interesting mix, I guess, and you just got to know how to balance it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now talk a little bit about couple of the other coaches you guys have out there at Dark Side. I'm seeing a few other coaches here on your website.
Yeah, we got a coach right now. We got Coach Jeff Ogborn. He's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and he also is a certified instructor in Sambo, Russian combat Sambo, under Carlos Cummings and up in Pensacola. So he's a great guy too. There's some other people because the team, our philosophy is not everyone is meant to train under one person. You know, some people like a different type of style, you know, and so the guys in the team, they're allowed to go to all different coaches, you know, for their jiu-jitsu and their wrestling. And as long as they feel comfortable and they feel that they're learning, you know, I'm okay with that. So we have, like, Marcos Briones, for example, and Elon Cruz. They go to Ivor Jiu-Jitsu. They got Coach Joey out there, you know, who just got his black belt. He's a really good guy. He's been around for a while. He's, like, very technical. He knows his stuff. Then you got Rob Horton. He goes to St. Pete for Jiu-Jitsu. He trains with Lex. Coach Lex, Brazilian dude, really good. He's really good. A lot of the top dogs in the area, they go to him too, you know, for instruction. So that's our mentality, you know. Like everyone learns different, and there has to be a chemistry with the coaches, they go to a few different places, you know. There's maybe one or two coaches that I like to have around, especially for fights, because, you know, there's certain things that sometimes are going to happen in the fight, such as, you know, maybe you're going to get a cut and things like that. So the person helping you out needs to know how to work the corner as well. You know, so then we got like Gian. Gian trains with Bill Banks. You know, that's where he goes, and he does his jiu-jitsu, all his groundwork. And he also trains with Yosmani Cabezas. So, you know, I let the guys go out there and find someone that they feel comfortable with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I've noticed that and respected that a lot. I think it's cool. You know, I think some gyms are a little bit too uptight about that kind of stuff, you know, not letting people cross-train. I think it only makes the fighters better, and it makes the school better, and it makes the sport better when guys cross-train, when gyms can kind of work together, fighters can train. You know, they have a home gym, but they go and they train a little bit here, a little bit there. It kind of helps the growth of the sport, you know, and I think that's a good thing when a gym is open to that, lets their fighters do that and doesn't put those restrictions on them. So,
oh, it does. It does indeed, because, you know, they all bring – when they come back from training and we all together as a team and we putting things together as a team, you know, everyone's going to come in and say, like, oh, look, let me show you this move. Let me show you that move, you know, things like that. And the whole team grows with it. So indirectly, they're also being taught by those people, you know. And that's the beauty of it, you know, and I see that we've made a lot of progress like that. And, you know, now I'm not trying to change it because, you know, that's pretty much what you see in the school system here. You know, they think that everyone is – you got 20 kids in the classroom, and they think that everyone learns the same, you know, and that's not the way it works, you know. People learn there's different coaches for different people.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. Listen, man, thank you for joining us tonight, Daniel. Looking forward to seeing some great things from the Team Dark Side Fighters. I'm sure we'll see a couple of them on RFC 29 in November. And we'll be looking forward. We'll be following along, keeping up with what Team Dark Side is doing. We appreciate you joining us tonight, man. If there's any sponsors or any shout-outs that you'd like to give or where people can find you on social media, why don't you go ahead and let our fans hear that.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow the team, you could actually look me up on Facebook under Defiant Daniel. I don't want to give start giving shout outs because then I might miss someone. But I do want to thank, you know, all the supporters. We got like great friends. We got great supporters. There's a lot of people that follow us and constantly encouraging the guys and trying to help out all the time. You know, and I really appreciate them and I want to thank them.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, thank you for joining us, Daniel. It was a pleasure talking to you, man. I look forward to seeing you out some of the fights, and, you know, I'm always there. If I see you, I'll come give a shout-out. We'll chat for a few minutes, and I'll be following and keeping up to date with what Team Dark Side's doing.
You got it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. And tell Chris that I'll be there on Monday so you can teach me something.
Right on, man. Take it easy, Daniel. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Defiant Daniel out of Team Dark Side here in Tampa, Florida. You can look him up at darkside/MMA.com, or you, like you said, follow him on website at Team Dark Side. They got a lot of real great fighters, man. Paul Barrow, Rob Horton, Alon Cruz, Marcos Briones, Devin Rodriguez, Gian Herrera. Just check these guys out, you know, and follow along with a great team, a great school, and, you know, support local MMA. We're going to do that right now with a quick shout-out from one of our sponsors.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio 10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Right you are, sir. Let's at Don's Voice. Check him out on Twitter, at Don's Voice, man. He does a great job for us. Right on. So what we're going to do here in the next couple of minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines. Me and Spencer are going to talk, just chat some stuff. But we want to hear from people. Give us a call. Say whatever you want to say. You know, try and keep it, you know, don't make fun of my mom or don't make fun of Spencer's dog or anything like that. But, you know, I don't even know Spencer has a dog, but.
I do not have a dog.
All right, don't make fun of Spencer's dog. Don't make fun of, you know, just call in. If you don't like us, you can tell us that. That's cool. But if you want to call in and ask us something, go ahead and do so. We'll play a quick song, come back with open lines, and we'll just chat and hang out the rest of the night, and hopefully somebody wants to talk to us. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to play a song real quick, and then we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Charge.
We are back live with you. There's a little bit of Hollywood Undead. Don't know how many people are HU fans out there, but I've been a big HU fan for a long time, and thought that'd be a nice little twist. So, all right, zombies, we're going to chill the last half hour here, just talk some stuff, talk whatever we want. If I want to talk about toenail fungus or we want to talk about zebras, that's what we're going to talk about, because it's Cage Zombies Radio, and we do what we want. And so, yeah. We are quickly, we don't spend a lot of time on the UFC. There's enough people out there covering the UFC, but we're talking for a minute here, a minute or two, about the UFC fights this last weekend. Jose Aldo versus the Korean Zombie. I think first and foremost, the most glaring thing from that fight is the fact that Jose Aldo's foot looked like an eggplant.
So, yeah, man, that's why he wasn't throwing the leg kicks. I was wondering why. That's always been part of his game, some of the nastiest leg kicks. And
he's a soccer player.
Yeah, he only threw one, and I was wondering why. And it was a fracture, or is it worse?
I'm not sure exactly what the injury was, but it was a nasty-looking foot. I saw some pictures. I did not get to see those fights, but I saw the pictures, and it was pretty nasty. So,
hey, man, it didn't live up to what it was supposed to be. They both are warriors, not taking anything away from them. The Zombie popped his shoulder out and was trying to pop it back in place to keep fighting. Aldo fractured his foot. But it definitely wasn't the fight that everybody was expecting. Usually the Korean Zombie comes out and just balls to the wall, goes at it. And he was a little hesitant, and then Aldo was off his game too. So it definitely Bellator the previous week was definitely a better fight card than UFC 163.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's see. I mean, Ian McCall got a decision victory that might save his UFC career. He had yet to get a fight in UFC, although putting on eventful fights, and he's not a boring fighter by any means. But, Dana, if you're not winning for him, then, he's not going to keep you around. So Ian McCall goes out, gets a nice decision victory. Hopefully we'll see some more fights from Ian in the UFC. Ian's an exciting guy. And you got to have a guy on your roster whose name is Uncle Creepy. You just can't cut somebody like that.
I want to get him on the show.
Absolutely, man. That'd be a kick-ass interview, man. Amanda Nunes gets a TKO victory over Sheila Gaff. I think probably the biggest takeaway from UFC 163, though, is the Phil Davis-Lyoto Machida fight. I think everybody and their uncle and their uncle's uncle had Lyoto Machida winning that fight. And somehow Phil Davis comes out with a 29-28 unanimous decision, which goes back to the age old discussion of if you leave the fight to the judges, then you're putting the decision in their hands, and you can't really be upset about what the judges decide. So it sucks. Lyoto definitely should have won that fight, but if it's left to the judges, then it's like it's just whatever. You got to deal with the outcome.
Not only that, but another question that a lot of people like to ask, how much is a takedown worth? And if you don't do too much damage, how should it be scored so greatly? I don't think Phil Davis did that much damage when he did take Lyoto Machida down, and the takedowns were late in the round. So you could argue that the takedown shouldn't have counted for, obviously, the magnitude that jumped him up to the win, because I think that's what the judges were looking at, were the takedowns.
Yeah, and that's a great point, exactly, is how much is a takedown worth? If a fighter gets a takedown, you score in the takedown, but then the other fighter's right back up. What did that takedown really do? The takedown really didn't do anything. I think takedowns should be universally scored, that a takedown's only going to give you points if, when you take the fighter down, you do something with it. If you take a guy down and then he's back up, 5 seconds later, no damage taken, nothing, then should you really get points for that takedown? Maybe yes, but not nearly enough to sway the decision of a fight. But, it's always the same discussion, though. It's just like when you don't finish a fight, then, it's whatever. You can't argue. You can't have anything to say about it. Regardless, you have that Lyoto Machida versus Shogun 1. Shogun won that fight, hands down. And somehow Lyoto got the decision victory, and it's like, at the same time, as a Shogun fan, I'm pissed, but you know what? Shogun let the fight go to the judges, so that's that. When you do that, then it's you're saying, you couldn't finish your opponent, so it's the judge's decision, and you just got to deal with with the decision that they make. Now, fortunately, Shogun got a rematch and knocked Lyoto out, and it was a beautiful KO. So, but yeah, I mean,
and you know who does the takedown thing perfectly? Ben Askren, just like I said last week, this dude does everything with the takedown. He keeps you down. Fighters that are fighting him always say, "Oh, he's not going to do it to me. He's not going to do it to me." You know exactly what he's going to do. He takes you down. He transitions nonstop until he ends up getting a TKO or a submission. And I'd say he's one of the best at it.
Yeah, Ben. Yeah, no doubt. He's one of the best wrestlers in the sport, and absolutely one of the best. In that aspect. Whereas, you know, he gets a takedown and he damages you in the takedown. Now, there is this talk of him being the best wrestler in the sport. Now, I don't know about that. I mean, that's kind of a tough title to give yourself. Yeah, he might be one of the top wrestlers in the sport, but you've got somebody like GSP, who you might argue is also one of the best wrestlers in the sport, who's also got great submission work. And without ever seeing a fight between the two of those, you can't really determine something like that. Then you've got Johnny Hendricks, who's coming along, who's also a phenomenal wrestler. Keep in mind Daniel Cormier. He's 12-0, and he's a phenomenal wrestler. Actually, Cormier and Ben Askren were on the same Olympic wrestling team back in, I want to say, 08. So it's hard to give yourself that. You can't really determine something like that. He's one of the top wrestlers in the sport, without a doubt, but I don't know if I'd go as far as to agreeing he's the best as he's claiming, but who knows? Maybe we'll see a super fight one day, Ben Askren versus GSP, UFC, Bellator, whichever promotion it's in. I think it'd be a cool fight because they're both phenomenal wrestlers. But then again, you know, GSP's got Hendricks coming up, and that is going to be a great fight. So we'll see what happens
there. I think the only way we'd ever see GSP versus Askren would be if it's in the UFC. I don't think Dana White would let GSP fight in Bellator.
I never thought I'd see Rampage versus Tito in Bellator either, though, so who knows,
I don't think anybody in their right mind could predict that.
And that became official this week. Both guys sat down and signed the contracts, and the fight is signed off, good to go. I believe it's main eventing the Bellator's first pay-per-view. I know it's on Bellator's first pay-per-view. I'm not sure if that's going to be the main event yet, but I would assume it is. But yeah, man, there's some good fights coming up in the UFC, man. You know, we talk about, you know, being a Zuffa zombie. And, you know, being a Zuffa zombie would be boring because there's so much great MMA out there. But there's no doubt that some of the best fighters in the world are employed by Zuffa, and it's always fun to watch them to fight and to see those fights because they're put on at such a grand scale. But those fights aren't taking place, and those fighters aren't fighting in the UFC if it's not for your local MMA, other great promotions throughout the world and throughout your local neighborhoods that are giving these fighters a start. So make sure that, you know, enjoy the UFC, go out and, you know, hang out with your friends, enjoy those fights, but don't forget the local scene. Go out and support your local neighborhood gyms and your local neighborhood fighters. If you can't afford to go to a fight, you know, go buy a gym, see if they need anything done. You know, we got Gator MMA, Richie Rackett here in Port Richey, Florida, you know. If you want to come out and support the guys, but you can't afford to go to a fight, come out to the gym and see what you can do for them. You know, maybe buy them a lunch. Maybe, you know, come out and sponsor them for a week to help them get through training as they train for a fight. There's so many great ways that you can sponsor local fighters. It doesn't always have to be by going to a fight. You know, if you can't afford that, there's many great things you can do for these fighters. So get out there, contact your local gyms, and find out what you can do. You know, you got Luke Zachrich's gym up there in Ohio, man. You know, these great local gyms, get out there, support them, and help these fighters fight another day. You know, the hashtag Let No Champion Struggle by our own Caitlin Deeney was started for that sole reason of being able to support local fighters. You know, what fighters can't afford, can't always afford the stuff, you know, especially these amateur guys, they can't always afford the stuff that's being put before them. And so get out there, help them out, and see what you can do for them to help them get through another day and pursue this career that they're trying to they're trying to make a reality. So anyways, though, you know, let's move on here. We got a great World Series of Fighting card coming up, a World Series of Fighting 4, August 10th, this Saturday night, actually. Wow. The main event, Tyrone Spong versus Angel D'Anda. I think that's how you say it. But Tyrone, man, that dude is a legend kickboxer. Excited to see him getting back into the MMA cage. He had some visa issues the last time around. not being able to fight on World Series of Fighting 3, but here he is in the main event of World Series of Fighting 4. And I just have to say, you know, Nick Newell left the XFC because he wanted bigger and better competition. He thought that Scott Holzman wasn't good enough to fight him, this and that, you know, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. And here he is fighting as a mid-card on this. So I hope it worked out for him. Nick's an exciting fighter, but I think he got a big head. He got a little ahead of himself and kind of wouldn't mind seeing Keon Caldwell handing it to him. So give him a little taste of reality, wake him back up, and make him a little bit more appreciative of the stuff that he's earned so far in his career. But also on that World Series of Fighting card, man, Antonio McKee is a legend, man. This guy's been around, fought all over the world. I got to talk with him a little bit after XFC 24, and he's just excited. I'm sorry. After Bellator 94. These events run together sometimes, dude. I just lose track. But after Bellator 94, Antonio McKee was hanging out at the post-fight press conference and talking a little bit to him, you know, what he's got going on. He's a funny dude. Interviewed him in the past. Look forward to interviewing him again. But it's going to be a big, big fight card for the World Series of Fighting 4 this weekend. This weekend,
yeah,
August 10th. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I wanted to jump back on the Nick Newell subject.
Yeah,
I was a huge fan of his when he started rising to the top in the XFC. I really wanted to see his fight with Holzman. I was disappointed when it fell through. I was really disappointed in how he conducted himself leaving the promotion, just because I'm a fan of the XFC. And I wish him the best, but I'm not going to lie. I really want to see Caldwell beat him. That's just my personal opinion.
I think Holzman would have worked him over pretty hardcore.
Oh, yeah, Holtzman's a great fighter, man, especially in that last event, watching him fight for the title, man. He just put in work.
Yeah, that was a shame, man. You know, his opponent, John Mayo, was a real good dude. I was really looking forward to seeing John win that fight. Nothing against Holtzman. I'm a big fan of Holtzman's, but I just wanted to see John Mayo take that fight. He's been around. He's a great dude, great fighter. Helps a lot of great causes, supports some great people, and so I look forward to seeing John Mayo back in the cage very soon and hopefully winning some fights and getting a title, maybe another title shot down the road with the XFC or a title shot somewhere else, wherever it may be. But that's another good fight card coming up for the World Series of Fighting 4. I got a fight card this weekend here in Sebring, Florida, Donnie Harris Live Cage Fights, the Sebring Swamp Brawl, looking at about 12 to 13 fights. Donnie Harris, man, he mixes it up. You know, Donnie's got – you got MMA, you got Muay Thai. Let's see, I don't think there's kickboxing on this fight card. There was on the last one, but yeah, this seems to be all MMA and Muay Thai. If you have not seen a live Muay Thai fight, man, it is sick. If you blink, you're missing about 100 punches. These guys throw so hard and so fast. It's awesome to watch live Muay Thai. So it's going to be a great night of fights down in Sebring, Florida this Saturday night. Make sure to check that out. Fights start at I want to say fights start at 7. I believe so, yeah. Fights, I think the door's open at 7, actually. So make sure you get out there, support some great local MMA, and help these guys, you know, help the sport grow. I mean, you can't hurt the sport by going out to these local fights. You know, you drop 20, 25 bucks to go to a local fight, and it's only helping these fighters. So get out there and make it happen. I think we have I think we got one of our sponsors wants to say something real quick. So let's go ahead and let them do that.
Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get Cast Iron Strong.
Right on, man. Cast Iron Supplements, another one of our great sponsors here at Cage Zombies Radio.
Right on, man. You were talking about local events coming up. We have out here, it's a little bit away, August 31st. I'm going to be covering RFO Big Guns 12, which you were talking earlier about, Julian Lane on the Ultimate Fighter. He'll be fighting on that fight card against John Law. I'm excited to see him fight. And then in the main event, Cody Stevens is fighting Dustin Nice, who's also from the Ultimate Fighter. So get out there, support local MMA. That's up in Mansfield, Ohio.
Right on, man. Right on. For every 5 events in Florida, Ohio's got 1.5. Keep it going. Right on, man. That's awesome. You know, there's a great fight scene in throughout Ohio, and Spencer's lucky he gets to get out and cover a good amount of them. I'm honored. You know, there's just so much that goes down in Florida. I'm just honored that these promotions allow me to come out to their fights, to cover their events, and to be able to do that for Madhouse. So it's a great state. You know, it's a great state to certain degrees, I should say. It's hot as hell right now. I'm like sweating from my eyebrows as I sit inside of a refrigerator. It's so hot down here. So, but with that said, there's a lot of great MMA. There's a lot of great sports teams down here, and we're just excited. I'm excited to be down here in Florida the time being. Excited to start schooling and get rocking and getting closer to living the dream here, being able to be a writer full time. So, in the meantime, we're gonna keep rocking Madhouse here in the state of Florida. We're gonna play one more quick ad from one of our sponsors, and I think we're just gonna wrap up a few minutes early tonight and get my old self to bed because I've been up really early. So let's give a shout out to a couple of our quick sponsors real quick. We'll say some final last words, and then we'll be out for the night. So real quick, here's a couple shout outs from our sponsors.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at intimidationclothing.com and use Radio 10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Right on, Intimidation MMA. Give one more quick shout out to another one of our sponsors, and then I'll probably just go ahead and wrap it up for the night.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Right on, man. Thank you to both Intimidation Clothing, Cast Iron Supplements, and Jax Media Canada, as well as our many great other sponsors at Macho Fighter, MachoFighter.com. Contact Brian Camacho, man. Get yourself sponsored, supported by management. He will hook you up with sponsors. He will hook you up with gear. He's got the hookups. He's been doing great things for the fighters out of Gator MMA, another one of our great sponsors, Gator MMA Fight Team at Richie Racket in Port Richey, Florida. Check out the new facility, some like 16 to 20,000 square foot facility. We have it all now. Come and check it out. Great new equipment, great rooms, great workout equipment. So get out there, check them out as well. BrawlBase.com. Check out BrawlBase.com, support local MMA. Crossborder Clothing and Game Changer Clothing, two other great apparel companies in this great industry, as well as Draco Sports. Draco Sports is going to have all your needs if you want to get into combat sports. So go check them out. Last and certainly not least, you want the most kick-ass belts on the planet, best belts you're going to find anywhere, you want ProAmBelts.com. So check them out at ProAmBelts.com. Custom-made belts, stockhouse belts, whatever you want, they got it. They can do it. You're not going to find belts anywhere else, anywhere better. So check that out. Want to thank Luke Zachrich, Ricky Sniper Rainey, and Defiant Daniel out of Team Dark Side for joining us tonight. Another great show. We have a great week time here each week. Me and Spencer both were a little rough tonight. We were kind of in and out of it, but you know what? We got it figured out, and we rocked another episode for all of Zombie Nation. We want to thank you most of all. If it's not for all of the zombies out there, you know what? We're just sitting here talking to ourselves. We might as well just call each other or Skype each other, and we can paint each other's nails together or something. But so we want to thank all the zombies for being out there and listening to us and keeping us going each week. We appreciate it. We love you all at Zombie Nation. Keep the zombie spirit alive. Be cage zombies. Don't be Zufa zombies. As for Spencer Kirksey, my name is Matthew Gaither, and we will be back next week with another great show. Thank you for joining us. Check out both of our work at MMAMadhouse.com, both Mr. Pablo Diablo and myself. You can find us on Twitter. I am at J23Journalistic, And Spencer is?
Pablo underscore L underscore Diablo. Keep tuning in, and maybe one day I'll tell you how I got that nickname.
Right on. Once again, this is Cave Zombies Radio. We will see you guys next Thursday. Enjoy the outro. Take it easy. Support local MMA. Let no champion struggle. MMAMadhouse.com.
Thank you.